ask you for that spirit of perseverance to be courageous as the years unfold, as the decades unfold. Lord, I thank you for him, for the steady witness of the wisdom of being abandoned to God. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. He asked... restraint. And there's not, because see, we have to go 24/7. So when you guys leave... No, when you guys leave, we're not even thinking of stopping. I mean, we have to go all night. There'll be a worship team going. There'll be a couple hundred of them at 12. A couple hundred of them at 2 o'clock in the morning. A couple hundred at 400. At 4 o'clock in the morning. Tomorrow morning at 8 in the morning. 10 in the morning. Overnight. No. There's no, you know, if they leave, we just keep on going. So, no, really, just keep going. Night watch. Where's night watch at? So there's about 200 in the whole company that night after night, they stand in the house of the Lord and cry out for revival. Night watch, where are you?
Just to see if the date changed. So that's apparently that wouldn't even work here. You need a month calendar or something on there. It's so cool to be here. It really is. It's a real real honor and a treat to be with Mike and Diane and the whole team here. What you guys are doing has impacted the entire nation, and that's actually short-sighted. You've impacted the world, and just really, really, I'm so thankful to know that we're just friends and to see what you guys have done and just to join with you. I think I need to start with some incredible news. God is in a good mood. A lot of people haven't figured that one out yet. And so I'm here to start off on a good note. God is in a good mood, and I have it firsthand information. This is not a rumor. I've talked with him recently, and he's really comfortable in being God, and he's not nervous at all, and he's actually quite excited that we're starting to wake up to the fact that he's God, and that's good news all by itself. So it's a real treat to be here. We've been having just so much fun for so many years, and I know there's always difficult on trial, but I want to just tell you some good news. And one of our young men was down at Denny's, and he took a glass and he stood up in the middle of the restaurant with a fork and he went ding 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 to get everybody's attention. And he said, "Excuse me, I know that some of you need a miracle in your body. I'll be sitting here at this booth. If you want to come over any time during your meal, I'd be happy to pray for you." And then he sat down. And he had his meal there, and people looked at each other and kind of scoffed. But within moments, he had people just lining up. By the time he left the restaurant, there's not only miracles, there was bodies all over the floor of Denny's. Come on. We have the conviction that, you know, if you're still breathing, you're still of one generation. And so we just kind of treat everyone the same. One of our gals is in her 70s, and she had been taken to heaven. And she saw the spare parts rooms, body parts. I've not seen it myself, but who am I to argue? So she has this lady come to her. What we've learned is that most of what you'll need in life will be brought to you, but most of what you want, you'll have to go get. And there are certain realms of breakthrough that will not be brought to you. They are the Jesus that intends to walk past the boat, and somehow you'll need to persuade him into your boat. He's not being cruel. It's just certain there's a weightiness to the kingdom that can only find a resting place to remain on those who are desperate. And so he puts circumstances in front of us to see if we learn how to pursue and take hold of and obtain. And anyway, this a gal came to her and says, I need a new..." She'd been in a head-on collision. She said, "I need a whole new knee. I don't even have a kneecap." And one of the things that we started going after the end of last year was more creative miracles. Things, the missing parts get created. So this gal comes to her and says, I don't even have a kneecap. I need a whole new knee joint. And she says, well, I'll get one for you. She reaches her hand up like this, brings it down, puts it on her knee, and in 15 minutes she has a new knee joint with a kneecap that wasn't there 15 minutes earlier. Come on, that's a yay dog. That's amazing. One of our favorite stories is there one of our young men that went down to the grocery store about 10 o'clock at night for one of the four basic food groups, donuts. And he's walking, came into the store, and he's walking. There's a cash registers over here with people lined up to pay for their groceries. And he notices one of the ladies has a hearing aid, so he walks over and he says, would you mind if I prayed for you? Come to find out she's 100% deaf in one ear and 50% in the other. And she said yes, and then turned around to take care of her groceries. He said, no, I mean right now, right here. And she looked around and said, well, okay. So he prayed. And this part of the story is actually quite normal. Both ears just got 100% healed. She was 100% deaf in one ear and 50% in the other, and she's crying. She's just going, this is God. This is God. And the cashier, you know, the gal behind the counter checking the groceries, she's going, this is God. Our young man is going, this is God. So they were all in agreement that this was God, which is great. And he turns to the gal behind the counter, and he says, you know, God wants to do more in this store tonight. Can I use the intercom? And the gal behind the counter looked at him and said, this is God, and showed him how to use the intercom. So he gets on the intercom and he says, attention shoppers. God just came into the store and he healed a woman who was deaf at cash register number 10. And then he says, ma'am, come here. And he has her give her testimony over the intercom to this whole store. And so he gets the mic back and he said, God wants to do more in this store tonight. I heard the words, new hip. Somebody in this store needs a new hip. Carpal tunnel syndrome. So he starts calling out these words of knowledge. And he says, if you want prayer, meet me at cash register number 10. So moments later, people are coming down the aisles and they're looking down at, you know, cash register number 10 because they're not quite used to this yet. And sure enough, a crowd starts gathering around this guy at the cash register. Just like in the Bible. I mean, they just started coming and staring and looking. And right in the middle of it, this lady comes up in one of them electric carts. And she comes right in the middle of the whole crowd. She goes, I'm the new hip. So he talks to her for a moment, stirs her up, you know, to believe, and then prays for her. And he says, now move and check it out, because faith always needs an activity. And so he says, move and check it out. She says, oh, if I do, it'll hurt. So he talked to her a little bit about faith needs an activity. Prayed again. He says, now move your leg. She moves, and she goes, oh. He says, what? She says, it doesn't hurt. He says, then I suggest you get up and walk. So she gets up in front of the whole group there and starts walking along the front of the store with no prop, no limp, no pain, no nothing. Completely healed in front of everybody's eyes. And again, just like the Bible, this guy pushes his way through the crowd and he says, I'm a piano teacher. I do concerts. I can't teach. Do you think God would, or I can't play. Do you think God would heal me? And he says, well, of course. And so he prays for him and his hands turn to like fire. And we tell our people, hot is good. So he's going, my hands are on fire, my hands are on fire. And within moments, he's completely healed. Other people got healed. So he's standing there and he's thinking to himself, I got a crowd. I ought to preach. So he does. So he's standing with this crowd around cash register number 10 and he starts preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if you would like to receive Christ, then raise your hand right where you are and I will pray with you right where you are. And so they started raising their hands right in the front of this grocery store. This is normal Christianity. This is gospel 101. And yes, you can try this at home. you know, if I come here, I'm going to be thrilled with all the people that's going to be healed tonight. It's going to be just great, great fun. We call it Christian recreation. And it really is great fun. And we're so thankful that what used to be a dream is now happening just every single day. We have more people healed now out in public in the streets and malls and schools and stuff than we even do in church, and which is really a dream come true for us. But I want to be really honest with you. I didn't come for that. If I come and, you know, 300 people get healed because I laid hands on you, then there's just 300 blessed people. But if I come and release you to do it, then I've left an army. And what all of us have come for is we're interested. We all have this inborn conviction that we are alive to shape the course of world history. We are alive to shape the course of world history. And we owe people an encounter with God. We're indebted to mankind to bring them into an encounter with God. And it is not done through mere speech. It must be through demonstrations of power. People's tendency to embrace a revelation of God being an angry father is in equal proportion to their inability to demonstrate power. People's tendency to embrace the concept of God being an angry father is almost always in equal proportion to their inability to demonstrate his power. Why? Because powerlessness is such an aberration, such a perversion of the gospel that we either need an explanation or a solution. And for those who need an explanation, they tend to lower the standard of Scripture to the level of experience because their desire is to be comforted. And if I can make the Bible say something other than when it does, then I can be comfortable in powerlessness. I don't want to be comfortable. I'm not looking for comfort. I'm looking for breakthrough. It is in the DNA of every believer to pursue that which has been called impossible. You by nature have been assigned to invade the realm of impossibilities. That is who you are. In fact, every story that has lasting effect in your life has been when the impossibilities of life have bent their knee to the name Jesus. There's something in us that delights in that more than anything else. You know, I tell the Lord constantly, it doesn't have to come from my hands. I just want to be in the room. You know, I just want to see. I just want to be a part of what you're doing. I just want to be a part of what you're saying. And we've been given this amazing opportunity right now to honestly affect the nations of the world. Think about this. Jesus gave us an amazing commission. And like everything else he told us to do, it's impossible. He said, disciple nations. See, there's phrases in the Bible that are supposed to bother you. They're not supposed to just fit in. They're supposed to grab us and shake us around a bit. They're supposed to bother us because they are pregnant with meaning that has the possibility and the potential to honestly shape the course of world history. He said, disciple nations, an impossible task, again. And then to make it possible, he took the one who is called the desire of the nations and made him to live in you so that you would become the very thing the nations cried out for. It's to happen yet again where the people of God become a praise in the earth. And it's not because of popularity. It's because we represent Christ authentically. Do you understand me that sinners didn't have a problem with Jesus? The world did, but sinners didn't. It's one of the great mysteries of Scripture, how you could have those who are the most well-trained in Scripture, the greatest theologians of the day, did not recognize Jesus when he came. But the demon-possessed did. The stargazers did. Tax collectors. The people who were disqualified suddenly became qualified and they saw. How is it that somebody who was trained to see couldn't see and one who was disqualified because of sin could see? Because the kind of seeing that's needed in this hour doesn't come from knowledge. It comes from awareness of personal need. and the tax gatherer, while he steals and he plunders and he deceives people, he lives aware of his need for God. Where the religious usually build up theories around themselves to keep themselves comfortable in their present situation. And everybody in this room that chooses a place to level off where you seek comfort more than you seek the authentic display of the kingdom, that is where we literally choose to level off and we become deceived about the next thing that God is doing. But that's the other group. You know, the Lord is going to be accurately represented because he is what the nations desire. And when he said, as the Father sent me, I send you, it's not a complicated assignment. Did you know that Jesus Christ is perfect theology? He's perfect theology. What about Job? I'm not a disciple of Job. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Job is the question. Jesus is the answer. If my study of Job doesn't lead me to Jesus, I never understood the book. It was all to create an awareness that we need a Savior. We need one who authentically and accurately displays, not just in word, but in power, the actual heart of a loving Father. And Jesus Christ is that exactly. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is the exact representation of the Father's nature. He's exact. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's a very clear picture. The way Jesus treated the woman caught in adultery, he was mirroring the heart of the Father. You guys all right? How many sick people did Jesus turn away? See, not everyone who comes to me leaves with the same package they got when they came to Jesus. Now, I can either create scriptural excuses or I contend for a transformation. An explanation or a solution. An explanation is lower the scripture to your standard of living. A solution is seek for that baptism of power that transforms everything. Well, brother, we got to be careful. We can't seek for power. Now, I've been careful long enough. Now, I tried that one. It didn't work. I'll tell you this, though. If you're going to live a life of caution, all your friends will call you wise. That was a good point, Bill. That was... a very good point. All your friends will call you wise. You just won't move many mountains. Thank you. Truth comes in layers. It's multidimensional. It doesn't fit on doctrinal statements. They change without changing. They're alive. The law of sowing and reaping is a great biblical truth. Many revelations of the kingdom are seen in nature, but those are the fundamental revelations. They are not the ultimate. What the Lord does when he reveals truth to us, he says, I no longer call you servant, I call you friend. He never abolishes the previous revelation, he builds upon it. That's why it's line upon line, precept on precept. The problem is that we end up getting revelation beyond our ability to...